Saturday.
Drag racing history unfolds as Cloister Washaloo presents the 5th Annual York US 30 Muscle Car Madness. At the York Expo Center, York Fairgrounds, Friday and Saturday, July 7th and 8th, meet the legends of the drags, including Big Daddy Don Garlitz, the King of the Dragsters, along with Bruce Larson, Bill Grumpy Jenkins, Jungle Pam, Al Joni, Roger Lindemood, and more. See the cars like Al Joni's famous Mustangs, Roger Lindemood's Color Me Gone Mopars, the Seaton Shaker Funny Car, the Linwood Dragster Reunion, and more. Show runs July 7th and 8th, Friday from 1 till 9, then
Saturday
from 10 till 9. Drags, drivers, muscle cars, and good times at the York Expo Center. The dragster heydays of the 60s and 70s are back during the York US 30 Muscle Car Madness, supported by Kunstler Meat Products. Be there.
Well, this is Octane Radio, and we've got Mike Krieger, one of the fans that I met at Bowling Green at the NHRA's Hot Rod Reunion. And Mike's going to talk to us a little bit about his car, his A100, and talk a little bit about how these, where his interest got started. So, Mike, I'll turn it over to you and our listeners, and tell us a little bit about, where you're from.
Well, thanks, George. My name is Mike Krieger. I'm from Bell River, Ontario, Canada, which is about 20 minutes on the Canadian side of Detroit, Michigan. I've got a 1970 Fargo A100 pickup. Some American listeners might not understand what a Fargo is. Fargo is basically a Canadian Dodge pickup. They were available in Canada only, and they were sold on the Plymouth side of the Chrysler Corporation. Like I say, the Fargos were only available in Canada, and we thought when we were building this truck of mine that we would do it as a Fargo, because it was a Dodge. The truck came from Phoenix, Arizona. It was bought there brand new, and it's got now a 392 Chrysler Hemi in the bed of it. It's pro-streeted. It's got a Dana 60 rear end, 35 spline axles, 410 gears. It's got disc brakes all the way around, and the truck was basically built to look like something you'd see on the drag strips in the 60s, along with the wheel standard craze.
Yeah, I agree. I think you really captured that. That was first what brought my eye to it, of course, was the Gasser look. And I guess minus the pro street in the back, you pretty much have that 60s look captured. Really unique that you carried the Chrysler, contingency all the way through. A lot of guys would throw a small block Chevy or something in it. So I was really, really keen to the engine and all of the little accessories that you made to really, to bring the whole package together. Can you tell me a little bit about what you know about, the wheel standards? I go a little older than you. Of course, I remember the days of the little red wagon and those vehicles. But can you give me or do you have any insight on one of the why these cars were so popular back in the wheel standard days? And also, if you can tell me a little bit about where your plans are this year and next year, events wise, are you going to be doing exhibition or is it strictly show?
Well, the truck was basically, it was built just to be driven on the street. When I first bought the truck, I bought it with a bone stock vehicle. I bought it without a motor or transmission, and, of course, we did all the work to it, and the idea was just for me to drive this thing on the street, and really, it wasn't really intended to be a show vehicle all that much, but as we got kind of rolling in the restoration stages of it, it kind of snowballed into what it ended up being. As far as doing any other shows this summer, we'll probably end up doing the Mopar Nationals. We'll kind of go down to that. It's a little bit too late for us to go out to Carlisle, to the Chrysler's at Carlisle meet. They hold the A100 Nationals there every year, and we'd like to go to that, but fortunately this year we won't be able to make it. Woodward Dream Cruise is definitely one of the other shows we're definitely going to do with it. And there's some local meets around here that we're going to go to. There's a big all Chrysler show up in New Hamburg, Ontario, and it's the largest all Chrysler meet in all of Canada. So we're planning on doing those. But for your question there about how the A100s got kind of big with wheel standing and stuff back in the 60s, And see, I missed out on that whole era. I mean, I wasn't born until 1981. And I'll give you just kind of a little insight of how I got into all of it was, I mean, my dad has drag raced for 30 years. Before he was drag racing cars, he was ice oval racing and ice drag racing snowmobiles here in Canada. And he went drag racing there in the late 70s, early 80s. And I think the first drag race I ever went to was probably when I was about 2 years old. My parents took me to my first NHRA national event, back probably when I was 11 years old. And a funny little story of how this all kind of came about was they took me down to the Spring Nationals in Columbus, Ohio. And if anyone's ever been there, they know that every year you can pretty much count on rain and lots of it.
Right.
Well, on the Saturday, it was pouring rain, and I was out kind of wandering around. I mean, I was about 11 years old, and I just happened to walk underneath the Mr. Gasket awning that was in the manufacturer's midway to kind of seek shelter. And, I mean, I was looking around, and, I mean, at that point, I mean, I liked drag racing and stuff, but I wasn't totally, you know, full-blown consumed by it. And this blonde lady came up to me, and she commented on the hat that I was wearing. I was wearing a Nirvana hat, and if anyone came up to me at that point of my life and, you know, expressed any that they liked Nirvana, you know, they were my friend. So she came up and she commented on my hat, and I got talking away to her, and I guess I didn't really realize who she was until she said she was Linda Vaughn. Then upon that, I kind of became good friends with Linda, and Linda's kind of been like an aunt to me almost since I've known her. And anyway, Linda introduced me to Bob Riggle, her semi-interglass driver.
Right.
And just as I had met Bob, he had just finished building a Dodge A100 wheel stander.
Yeah.
Man, you don't see those on the street too often. I said, that'd be kind of cool. I think about that time I was probably around 14 years old. And then I thought, man, that's what I got to have. I got to have a Dodge A100 pickup, you know, with a, you know, a Hemi in the back, big tires, that type of deal. And that's kind of how it all started. But then upon you know, getting into these A100s, of course, I had to go back into all kinds of old magazines that my father had and kind of find out, you know, where they came from type of deal. And, I mean, growing up at the drag strip, of course, everybody has seen Bill Maverick's Little Red Wagon.
Right.
And that's kind of the starting of the whole involvement of the Dodge A100 in hot rodding. The truck was, the Little Red Wagon was built by Dodge in 1965. Frank Wiley and Jack McFarlane were the guys that kind of oversaw all the racing stuff that was going on at Chrysler at the time. And in 1964, of course, everyone knows that was the year the 426 Hemi came out. It was also the year that the Dodge A100 came out. And Frank Wiley thought, you know, man, we should put both of them together and make a race truck. And so they put the two together. They took it on the drag strip and found out that the thing just did these great big huge monstrous wheel stands. And at the time, Maverick wasn't the guy driving it. It was a fellow by the name of Jay Howell. And Jay said, you know, I don't want to have anything to do with this truck if we can't keep the nose of it on the ground. So the truck went back to Dodge, and it sat there for a while. And after that, George Hurst, guy who owned Hurst Shifters, came up with the idea of putting a 426 Hemi in the backseat of a Barracuda. That's where the Hurst Hemi Interglass came from.
Right.
And they took that car out, and they were doing these great big huge wheel stands. And George Hurst thought, man, you know, I bet people would pay to see, you know, a wheel-spinning Barracuda. Well, Maverick Golden saw what Hurst was doing with the Hurst Hemi Interglass and thought, yeah, Dodge could do that with a Little Red Wagon. And I've heard many stories, you know, dates and stuff I'm not sure of is when exactly Maverick got the truck. It was in 1965 that was when he actually got it. Took it back to California because the truck was up in Detroit. He redid a bunch of stuff on it, repainted it, and brought it out, and then basically the Hurst Hemi Interglass and the Little Red Wagon were the first of the exhibition wheel standers. So I guess the people that were building wanted to build something exhibition, you know, as far as wheel standers went, saw that the Dodge 800s were kind of the way to go. They had, you know, a unique design. You know, you stick that motor in the back, and the thing's got these, you know, just huge amounts of weight transfer. And, man, just there was... I couldn't tell you how many probably A100s there were back then running. There was, you know, there was Maverick's Little Red Wagon. There was the Dodge Fever truck. There was the Dodge Material truck.
The one that was mounted backwards, that the actual...
Yeah.
It was
the Jiminy Cricket truck.
Right, Jiminy Cricket, I think it was.
Yeah, it was. I think it might have been copied off of the original backup pickup. Like the backup pickup was a Ford Econoline.
Right.
The body mounted backwards. I think the guy who built the Jiminy Cricket truck, actually, originally his first truck was a conventional style wheel standard with the body mounted in the right direction. And then I believe that truck was crashed, and then his second truck was the truck that had the body mounted on it backwards.
Sweet. And all of this research you've done, have you been able to, do you have a website up yet or anything to, you know, to promote both what you're doing and, of course, your passion? We're, of course, I've got a section on our website, and we're going to include, an image of the truck. We're kind of limited when we create our broadcast is what we can. We're really limited to one image per podcast. But on our website, we're going to put the images that you sent. But have you got anything going as far as a website yet?
I did there probably, I guess, around the end of the 1990s. I had a small website up and going, and at the time I wasn't into the internet really at all. And then I went to college for 5 years and did graphic design, internet design, and special effects for videos and stuff. So I'm in the process right now of doing like my own website to promote the work that I do. But it's also going to have a section on the A100, and, you know, there'll be some other pictures and stuff on there of wheel standards and stuff that I've shot pictures of over the last probably 15 years. At the time, though, I don't have it up and going, but I'll definitely make sure that you guys get the web address up and going.
When you got that up and going, send me an email, and we'll have another call. Have another interview here, and I will be at the Woodward Dream Cruise. So we'll try to coordinate, Christian. It's a great opportunity for us to come up and work with the museums and such. So we will definitely be there, and I will coordinate. Maybe what we can have some of your friends. We can meet over at the Chrysler Museum, and we could spend some time over there, and I can interview all of the all the people that you kind of know and line up.
Awesome. There's a group of guys that I kind of hang out with here in southwestern Ontario who have A100s, and there's probably about 10 of us that have these trucks, and we go cruising around together and stuff, and it's always kind of cool. I should convince them, though, to go to Woodward with me, because that'd be all the years that I've gone to Woodward, like this is basically the first summer that I've had the truck, completed. I had it out on the road maybe for about a month last summer. But this is the first summer where I've had it out and taken it to a bunch of shows. And all the times that we've gone to Woodward, we've been going to Woodward since it started, back in 1995. And I can't say as I've seen any other A100 pickups cruising around. I'm sure there has been, but, I mean, Woodward is so big, you only probably absorb about 10% of actually what's going on.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a nuthead.
Yeah, that's a great point. All the fans are listening. If you ever get a chance, Woodward. I mean, I've been to car shows all over the United States and hot rod events and NSRA events and good guys, and it's just nothing like the Woodward Dream Cruise. I mean, it's virtually every 2 or 3 miles there's a cruise in happening. So
yeah,
all these little small communities really embrace the hot rodder at that week. Really now it's a whole week of events. It seems so.
Like the cool thing about Woodward is, I mean, I go over there to see, 60s muscle cars and, vintage stuff that you could possibly see, on a drag strip back then. But whatever kind of cars you're into is what's at Woodward. I mean, there's hot rods, there's gassers, there's altered wheelbase stuff that shows up. There's low riders. There's just all kinds of stuff. Like there's, the rat rod stuff. It's just the cross-section of cars there is always what's kind of cool, because you just see so much stuff and a lot of cool stuff, too. Like, I remember last year we saw this guy did his version of a Pro Street garbage truck. And, the thing was just – it was super cool, and it's like only at Woodward do you see that kind of stuff.
I'm really into the people, the different cliques of – well, I notice now, of course, it's been 2 years since we met the Dream Cruise, but in 2003 – The different groups that we found was really, really unique, too, that, you have the car club, and you have the Edsel clubs, they're all together in one place, or,
yeah.
And the next group, it's all Chryslers. You pull in a parking lot, and there's, 60 Chrysler muscle cars there, and it's just I really like the different groups, and of course all the each little town seems to have some type of event going on. So, but
and what's also cool about Woodward too is the whole the amount of people that dress up. You know, like there's people that dress up like greasers. There's guys walking around dressed as Elvis. There's girls dressed up as Marilyn Monroe.
I've noticed that too. It's got into a different groups. You've got the folks now are dressing up like we had the greaser movement has been on for quite some time, but now they're taking it to a different level and they're dressing up as 50 like country club, and they got their knickers and golf shoes on, and then there's the lounge guys and the surf groups, the folks are really taking the beatnik kind of look. So, yeah, you're right. Sure. It's really unique. And what's amazing to me is, of course, there's a lot of age difference between me and you, but the knowledge that you've gained and learned about your passion here and this, being the A100 being your passion and all of the research that you've done and what you've done with us today is help, share that passion, but also your story. We will be with Linda Vaughn in October at the East Coast Drags Hall of Fame, and we will probably have interviews with her beforehand with us working with Vintage Fuel magazine, but we will definitely get a chance to meet with her, we'll definitely, when we have the interview done, send you an email, let you know. Of course, you can tune in, as all of our listeners can, every week at OctaneRadio.com. All of our shows now are on podcasts, and of course this interview here will be on Octane Radio during our Radio 1320 spot where we cover hot rodding, but you'll also be able to catch Mike's interview on our podcast page. So, Mike, I really appreciate it. I'm really sorry that we had the trouble that we had at Bowling Green, and I've been real nice and not really expressed my opinion or talked about all the things that happened, but I'm going to keep this interview positive and going to keep my whole week positive. Last week was a real bummer, and I'm over it. So, we learned we learned a lesson, and it's we really gained a lot of listeners at Bowling Green, and since then, of course, we're going to make it an annual event. We will be at Bakersfield with helping out with recording and trying to record history. That's what we're doing now, Mike, is with our phone conversations and our audios, try to record that history. What I would really like to make sure that we get a chance to do when we're in Detroit for the Woodward Dream Cruise is to record your engine. We usually run about two to three minutes worth of the engine noise, and then from that we'll create us ringtones for your cell phone that you can then send or sell to your best friends and such. So,
excellent. Yeah. That's cool.
We want to have a largest collection I can of engine noise. I've got plenty of Hemis, but no 392s, unfortunately. I've got mostly 426 and mostly stock stuff. So we want to continue to build our library of racing of engine noise. And any listener out there, if you've got your own recording, email that stuff to me. It doesn't matter what file format, we'll convert it over into a ringtone for you just as a courtesy to build our library. But, Mike, our time's running here short, but I really appreciate the time you give me today. And, of course, tell all your friends to check out OctaneRadio.com for the best rockabilly, surf, and hot rod music, hot rod news. And look forward to seeing you in the Woodward Dream Cruise.
Most definitely.
All right, rock on, Mike. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you, George. Bye.
Sunday at beautiful U.S. 30 Drag Strip. It's the big grand opening of the 1967 drag racing season. Oh, 1967 American Hot Rod Association rules and classes will be in effect. See the tire-smoking battle for top eliminator honors between the 200-mile-per-hour nitro fuel and gas dragster. The all-new pure stock class trophy competition. Run what you've rung E.T. Bracket Eliminator competition with high-winding gassers, hot rods, and modified production racing flat out for the championship title. See the new super stock eliminator with the factory rivaling centered between the new Chevy Camaros, Ford GT, Mustang, Dodge RT Chargers, and the new Super GTO Pontiac Tigers. Beautiful U.S. 30 drag strip is located south of Gary, 3 miles east of Indiana Route 53 on Highway U.S. 30. Gates open 8 a.m. Final eliminations explode off the starting line 1:30 p.m. It's the big grand opening of the 1967 drag racing season. Sunday at Beautiful U.S. 30 drag strip. Drag racing capital of Chicagoland.